now. Just a brief snatch there of Born Slippy by Underworld, bringing back memories of the mid-1990s, and in particular, the film in which it was featured, the highly acclaimed Trainspotting. Now, Danny Boyle's film was based on a novel by Irvin Welsh. And next month, it's coming to the stage in Chelmsford with a performance by my guest this morning, Early Doors Productions. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning. Good morning. Hello.
Now, whenever you guys come in, it's nearly always the entire cast. We haven't got nearly enough chairs. You've all found somewhere to sit down. I said to you when you got here, we've only got about three chairs. There's about 100 people in the studio and you're all sitting down. I don't know how that works. These theatre people, I don't know how they do these things. I think we're missing just one of you this morning, is that right?
We are, that's right, Laura.
Right. Now, do you want to start by introducing yourselves? Let's start with the lady on my right here.
Hello, I'm Julie Salter, and I'm playing Mark Renton's mum.
I'm Darren, I'm playing Begbie, famously played by Robert Carlyle in the film, which is a big role to try and fill.
Okay.
I'm Amy, I'm playing Alison.
And you're also the director, aren't you?
We don't have to mention that.
Sorry.
I'm Paul. I'm playing Johnny Swan, otherwise known as the Mother Superior.
Hi, my name's Dean, and I'm playing Simon Sick Boy Williamson.
I'm Matt, and I'm playing Tommy. It was played by Kevin McKidd in the film.
Hello, I'm Justin Cartledge. I'm playing Mark Renton, which was played by Ewan McGregor in the film.
I love all these very refined Southern England accents, which don't quite remind me of the film. Amy, I guess most people will have seen Trainspotting as a film, or if they haven't seen it, they'll at least be familiar with what the story is about. Just in case it is new to anyone... and keep it clean as well. Give us a brief synopsis of the story.
It centres around a group of friends and the drug abuse that they suffer and how that affects them and their family and friends around them. It doesn't promote drugs, but it is written with a brutal honesty. The play's been adapted from Irvin Welsh's novel, and Irvin Welsh wrote that from his own experiences. He bases himself on Mark Renton, which is Ewan McGregor's character, and his experiences at that time and how he got through it. So even though he does speak of some positives with drugs at that time, they're his memories of that and how he got through it, and obviously went on to do something very creative, which was obviously write the novel, and which inspired the film and onward.
And it was a 90s film. It was mid-90s, wasn't
it? That's right, 96.
But it was actually, the story was set a little bit earlier than that, wasn't it?
I think the novel came out literally maybe...
93.
Is that what it was?
93.
Right. Right, but it's sort of a modernish sort of upsetting. It's not the sort of thing that your average local theatre company would normally choose to put on. Whose idea was it? I mean, I know you're a very democratic company. Do you all get together and sort of put in some ideas? And how did it come about, Trainspotting? Nobody's going to take responsibility for this.
I think that we just try and have probably like a lot of other companies, you want to have a diverse selection of plays that you do. But we had talked about Trainspotting probably as far back as after we did Cuckoo's Nest.
That was a few years ago now, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was probably about three years ago.
But
it's always been in the background.
Just never felt like the right time, did it?
Yeah.
We just weren't ready to move on to that. It sat next to the shows that were not similar, but they had a heavy feeling, and we like to pits and troughs with the comedies and the serious, so it never really sat in with our plan. Mm. But a lot of hype came out with Trainspotting the end of last year, because obviously they released Filth, which is the second book. That came out in the cinema, and there was talk about Trainspotting 2 and getting the old cast back. So, it just felt like the right time to do it.
And last time it was Dracula, which was quite a difficult one. So a little bit of a theme here with the blood, I guess. Now, Darren, you're playing Begbie, one of the main characters. How close is your production to the film? Because I guess more people will be familiar with the film than the original novel, perhaps. Is it pretty much the same story as was in the film?
That's right, very much. It's definitely the same story. The play came out before the film, and the play version basically took parts of the novel. The novel has so many events in it. It's a really sprawling, episodic adventure about Renton and his friends. And for the play, they plucked out the best of those to make something that was a reasonable length. The film went back to the novel and did the same, but by some coincidence, or maybe not because of the most memorable moments, both the play and the film chose quite similar moments from the novel to explore. So yes, the play and the film have a lot in common. All you'll find is that in order to make the play as understandable as possible, you don't want to try and keep track of the hundreds of characters that are in the film. So some of the experiences and events are transposed to a smaller group of characters, which I think is the only thing that people might find surprising. They might go, hang on a minute, that didn't happen to him in the film. But the actual excitement of the event is still there in play form.
Obviously, it has to be quite different in many respects when you're putting something on the stage. Justin, you're Renton. You were the Ewan McGregor character.
Yes.
That's right, isn't it? The film, I seem to remember, had a little bit of raw language in it here and there. I guess it's the same for your production as well, is it?
I think the language is probably worse in the play than it is in the film, actually. It's almost every other word. But as Amy was said earlier on, you know, it is about this person's kind of his real life experiences, and I think probably in certain areas of the world, that's how people talk. You know, you keep going on a building site, and every other word could be a swear word. You know, just how people seem to communicate with each other.
And is there much of a comedy element to the play? I mean, obviously the theme itself is quite dark, but there certainly were funny moments, I suppose you could say, in the film. Would you describe it as maybe a dark comedy?
Yeah, I suppose so. Matt's very first scene when he comes on is a monologue, and it's hilarious.
Matt, you're playing Tommy.
Didn't sound right. That's good.
your character, Matt. You're Tommy.
That's right.
You actually die, don't you?
Yeah, so unfortunately.
That's not the funny bit.
Yeah. Well, for those who haven't actually seen, you know, the movie, that is it's kind of a spoiler, but
don't have to go and see
We all know the hard sort of elements that happen within the production, and I think the way it's been written is you're trying to make light of certain elements within that. You know, there's lots of sort of sexual content which is explained within the production, as opposed to, you know, you don't see much, so it just alludes to a lot of things. But I think with the language as well, it's all within context, so it's never to shock. It's only to tell the story.
Yeah. Would you say there's a message from the production?
The message I take from it is, well, you know, everyone's life is different. We all go through different experiences. It's hard. You've got to get through it. But at the end of the day, you know, drugs are bad. Don't take drugs. It can lead to horrible things. You know. Yeah. So, yeah.
The other thing that's interesting about the message they send is, obviously, there's some characters who you would hope the audience are behind and rooting for, and there's other characters where you might be thinking they're a bad egg. Possibly shouldn't get what they end up getting. But that is life. It's not fair, and sometimes good things happen to bad people.
So it's not really. I mean, obviously, with any production, people will take away what they want to, perhaps. But it's not simply a simple message. Well, drugs are bad. Don't take them.
It's not that simple.
It's a more complex message than that, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I guess it goes without saying that it's probably recommended for people over 18.
Yeah, we put an 18 advisory on Dracula, so it was people's discretion, but this one isn't strict 18. So
that it's interesting, isn't it? Obviously, with films, there's a classification, and, you know, it's a black and white. If you're not 18, you can't come in and see it. Now, obviously, whether people actually do go and see it, that's another matter. But with a stage production, it is just an advisory thing.
It really is, yeah. There's a freedom to who can and can't come, which is the wonderful thing about theatre, but, yeah, it is shocking, and people should be expecting the explicit language that there is.
Look, we do need to take a little bit of a break there. We will come back and talk some more about Trainspotting in a moment. Also, your future productions. I know you're thinking a long way ahead at the moment. Heaven 17 there with Temptation, song that featured in the nightclub scene in the film Trainspotting, which is being performed on stage next month in Chelmsford by my guests this morning, Early Doors Productions. Now, let's bring in Dean. We haven't spoken to you yet. Dean, you're playing Sick Boy, is that right?
That is right.
How challenging would you say this is from the point of view of an actor? Is this the first one you've done with Early Doors?
It is, yes. It has been challenging because Sick Boy's character is very, very different from, obviously, my own personal life. So he has this huge...
Not that different.
Did you say not that different?
Darren? No,
There might be solicitors involved here.
Yeah, no, he's obviously his life is controlled by like heroin. He's a very he looks down on the rest of the group of friends, especially Renton, who is his oldest friend. So to sort of try and get into the head of Sick Boy was quite a challenge in itself.
Right, and what about the violence? I mean, obviously there's quite a lot of violence in the film. Presumably there is violence portrayed on the stage version, is there?
Yes, not actual physical violence, but
maybe a little bit.
But
acting is pretend, though, isn't it?
Well, yes.
I mean, I'm giving a lot of secrets away here this morning, aren't I?
But you know, Begbie's got a little bit of a temper.
I've never heard anything so polite in my life.
That is very...
Right, hang on, just writing this. Begbie has a little bit of a temper, right, okay.
Yeah, but if...
And that temper is shown sometimes in the story.
Quite a lot, yes. Yes, he's... we're kind of all walking on eggshells when he's around, so... but yeah, there's... as an element of violence in the play throughout. So,
do you have Darren? Do you have a fight organizer? Do you have somebody who sort of is skilled in how to portray these sorts of things?
Absolutely, Amy is something of an expert.
she's choreographed the fight down to the finest detail. Unfortunately, in rehearsals, while you're very careful not to actually hit the person you're fighting, occasionally it does happen, at which point you just have to get very apologetic about it. But yes, there are moments of extreme violence, and I'd say Begbie's a bit of a strange character because, I mean, often when you're playing somebody in a play or a film that is an evil person, a bad person, when you're portraying him, you always try and find the good side. You think, well, he's not irredeemable. There's, I've got to come at it from, he doesn't think he's evil. Actually, with Begbie, it's very hard to find anything redeemable about this man at all. He is... I can't use an adjective for this man on the radio at this time of the day, is basically how bad he is.
Right, okay. Sounds like a nice guy.
But like I say, he's got a little bit of a temper.
Justin, obviously the story centres around hard substances. Presumably you actually portray injecting, actually taking the drugs in
yes.
some way, do you?
Yeah, quite often.
Right.
I mean, we as Matt said earlier on, with like the sexual content, you don't see it. It gets talked about and described that way. And the drugs, some of the scenes are the same, where you know, you get the person over the top talking over what you're doing to give yourself the substance. But there are times when you do physically see it as well.
Right. I mean, thinking about some of the challenges, because you've got an awful lot of challenges in putting on something like Trainspotting on stage. One of the things that we've not talked about is the fact that obviously it's set in Edinburgh, and as I was sort of, you know, joking earlier on, you're all from this neck of the woods, I suspect. You all sound pretty English. What about the accents? How do you actually cope with that? I mean, I couldn't begin to know where to expect. You know, where to go with that.
Well, when we started, we all thought we were okay, and then we got a Scottish vocal coach down from London to do a training session with us, and then we realised we were awful, and she spent 2 hours with us describing how your mouth should be shaped, where your tongue should be placed in your mouth, vowel sounds, consonants, certain inflections that are typically Scottish. And I think it was pretty beneficial to all of us, actually, so we're trying to implement that into the rehearsal. And she's helping us along the way as well.
Now, you've obviously, you've learnt your lines, and it's particular lines that you've got to say. But if we're actually sort of talking normally now, and I'm asking you some questions, are you able to drop into, if not into character, then at least into accent?
Well, we can try, like, but it's quite hard, you know, because you really have to think about the words you're using and what kind of letters you're using as well. And we try and do it under rehearsal, but it's not that obvious all the time.
I think that's amazing. I love that. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it? It's a little bit softer than the Glasgow accent, isn't it?
Welsh.
Yeah. I didn't like to say anything.
The Glaswegian is a lot harder, which is where Begbie's from, funnily enough.
And the film was actually made in Glasgow, wasn't it? But obviously it's set in Edinburgh.
I think it's flipped between Edinburgh and Glasgow, funnily enough.
Right, now, one of the challenges about putting on something that's so well known as a film is obviously that is what the audience is going to be familiar with. Do you think that the audience come in with particular expectations, which perhaps if you're putting on something that is more well known as a stage performance, that they might otherwise expect? Who wants to take this one?
I'll take it. I think with anything like this, the audience are going to come in with a certain amount of expectations. Anything that's well known, whether it's a book or a film in a previous life, people are going to come in there with their own opinions on what the characters should look like, what they should sound like, how the setting's going to be. I guess all you can really do is try and put your stamp on it and hope that what you present matches what the audience are expecting, or improve on it.
One thing I'm keen to find out, actually, and I mean this because you don't get paid for it. You're a non-professional group.
No, I get paid.
What?
Don't you?
What? Amy, Darren.
I'm trying to be polite to you. I don't want to call you amateurs, but that, you know, that's what you are. You're not doing this full time. Now, I the past week had a little bit of a cold, and I don't want to make a big thing about it. But the last thing I would want to do is go on stage and perform. Now, obviously, with a full time professional setup, you've got understudies. But what happens if one of you guys is? I mean, it's probably something a bit worse than a cold. But you're too sick to go on.
You go on.
Yeah, it's tough. It just,
so literally, the old adage, the show must go on, is literally true. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to drop out. Well, I better not breathe over any of you this morning, am I? Listen, let's just talk briefly about what's coming up. I know that you were going to be putting on the Philadelphia story, but you were telling me that there's been a stop press announcement. There's a last minute change to
your
lineup.
Absolutely, a stop press in the last 48 hours. Philadelphia story will still be on the cards. It's going to be our first show in 2015. Fortunately, the rights have extended our acceptance. We have now secured the rights for The Lady Killers, which has just finished on the West End. So very, very excited about
that. Why the change?
Mainly to do with the fact that The Lady Killers rights were only going to be available for a certain areas in a limited fashion, and they were only available on a limited time period.
So that means that in a particular geographical area...
Absolutely, they would only give it to a certain number of people at a certain
time.
Why
is that?
More than likely, we had exactly the same thing with the 39 Steps, funnily enough, and the reason for that was that it left the West End briefly to go on tour, then it went back to the West End, but they'd already accepted three amateur companies to have it, and then the amateur companies get it for a brief period before it goes on tour again, and then hopefully back to the West End. So they don't really want to give out the rights to too many people because they've still got their professional versions happening.
Right, and Lady Killers is happening in September?
It's actually going to be the first week in October.
Right, okay. And have you started casting that?
I've got some ideas, but I'm still looking for people.
Who are you looking for in particular?
Men.
Whenever I have any theatre group, whether it's in a drama, musical, it's always the same thing. We're looking for men.
It's always men. Plays, it's very difficult to find a play with and a heavy female cast.
You've chosen Trainspotting, which is a heavily male-dominated story. So you really do like to make life difficult, don't you, Amy? I don't know why you do these things yourself. So you're looking for men.
I think actually it's very difficult to find plays generally that are strong for women characters. Because most plays tend to be wrote probably by men. And it always seems to be the case that there's more male parts in plays.
Yeah.
And so therefore it's just...
And the other thing is, if there is a good female part, there normally is the one good female part. For example, Cuckoo's Nest, Nurse Ratched, awesome part, the only female part in it.
Because there are three female parts in Trainspotting, aren't there? You're taking
Alison. That's Alison. Right. You've got Renton's mother and Laura, who's actually doubling for
Renton's mum,
June and Lizzie.
Is Julie? Let's bring you in there, Julie. and you've performed with Early Doors before, have you?
Yeah, a few times. Yeah.
Right, and you're going to be playing Renton's mum. Is he a bad boy?
No, he's not. And I've already lost one son in the army, so
right.
I'm really just trying to save him. And I can see the good in him, but obviously he's just in with a bad group, really, and they all do the same thing, and you're led by the people that you're surrounded by.
Mums, eh?
Well, I think that's a good way to end it there, you know. Do just give us a plug for when and where people can see the production.
Yes, it's at the Cramphorn Theatre in Chelmsford on March 6th, 7th and 8th at 8 o'clock, and tickets are available from the box office there, or you can contact us at our website, which is www.earlydoors.org.
And you've prepared a little bit of an excerpt, a little bit of a taster for us. Take that away whenever you're ready.
Choose life. Choose mortgage payments. Choose cars. Choose dishwashers.
Are you cooking that market? I need a shot. I really need another shot.
I need another fix. I need to see the mother superior.
I can handle it. I've got the hairies. Just because she's having a bairn, thinks it gives her the right to lie around all day.
Maybe if she looked after it right, it might not be dead.
I'll help you, son. I'll help you fight this disease.
Do you sitting on a couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows where stuffing junk feed into your mouth?
Life's boring and futile. You start off with high hopes, and then you bottle it.
You can't really relax in my company, especially if I've had a bevy.
You want me to do it?
What does it do for you, Mark?
Don't you play Mr. Innocent?
We're gonna beat it, son.
I got to Nash. Any police come to the door, you've no seen us for yonks, right?
She's rotting away at the end of it all. A total embarrassment to the selfish, screwed-up brats you spawned to replace yourself.
I'm never touching that again. I'm a clean from that one.
Why should we get involved?
One shot isn't it gonna hurt us?
Come on, son. Make a tunnel for the choo-choo. What planet are we on?
I choose not to choose life. I choose something else.
Brilliant stuff there. Amy, Justin, Darren, Matt, Dean, Paul and Julie from Early Doors Productions. Thank you all so much for popping in.
Thanks for having us. Cheers.